Thank you. What a privilege it is, God. We are a privileged people to be able to gather together and to be together. We ask you, God, that you would allow the Holy Ghost to strengthen us and to give us, God, a desire greater than we have and a hunger deeper than we have for your word and for your truth. We give you all the praise and we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. There was a group of women in a Bible study who were studying on the book of Malachi. As they were studying chapter 3 of the book of Malachi, they came across verse number 3, which says, "He will sit as a refiner, in a purifier of silver." It was this verse that puzzled the women, and they wondered what the statement meant about the character and also the nature of God. One of the women offered to find out about the process of refining silver and would get back to the group at their next Bible study. And so it was during the coming week that woman called up a silversmith and she made an appointment. She said, "I just want to come and I want to watch you work." And while visiting the silversmith, she didn't mention anything about the reason of her interest beyond her curiosity about the process of refining silver. And as she watched the silversmith, he held a piece of silver over the fire and he let it heat up. And he explained that in the refining of silver, one needs to hold that silver in the middle of the fire where the flame was and is the hottest, as to burn away all of the impurities. The woman thought about God holding us in such a hot spot at times, and she thought again about the verse that said, "He sits as a refiner and a purifier of silver." She asked the silversmith if it was true that he had to sit there in front of the fire the whole time that the silver was being refined. The man answered that yes, he not only had to sit there holding the silver, but he had to keep his eyes on that silver the entire time that it was in that fire. For if the silver was left a moment too long in the flames, it would be destroyed. The woman was silent for a moment, and then she asked the silversmith, How do you know that the silver is fully refined? He smiled at her, and he answered, "Well, that's easy, when I see my image in it." Turn with me to the book of Malachi. Chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. And together let's read verses 1 through 3. "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness." God bless you. You may be seated. Tonight I want to talk to you and preach to you for just a little while on the subject of a refiner's fire. Refiner's fire. The book of Malachi chapter 3, if you study it, is a chapter that was written to the backslid nation of Israel. The message was about the soon coming of their Lord and Savior, and in verse 2, you find that certain questions are asked. Who will abide and who will stand when the Messiah comes? You may wonder, why was such a question asked and or presented to Israel? Because he, the Lord, was going to be the visible image of the invisible God coming to his people as a refiner. And in understanding that the process of refining is not and would not be very comfortable to them, it didn't make them feel good, maybe. Made them think, wait a minute, he's going to refine us. He's going to perfect us. See, by definition, to refine means, number one, to remove impurities or unwanted elements from a substance. Number two, refining means to improve something by making small changes, in particular to make an idea, theory, or a method more subtle and accurate. The Bible uses the allegory of the gold or the silver to describe the refining process of the human soul. As an account to the visit of the silversmith, it is the silversmith who, as the refiner, sits before the fire, fixing his eyes on that metal and taking care that the fire be not too hot. I believe sometimes it's God when we come to him in our sinful condition. You know, his glory. What was it in the Old Testament? Moses, he couldn't even look at God. He could, I want to see you. Well, you couldn't. No man can look upon me and live. And so he finally hit him in a cleft of a rock and God passed by him. And you go in the scriptures and it tell you how that when he went back before the people, when he had seen God, they had to cover his face with a cloth. And you think of this about Almighty God. You think about the powerfulness of God. And so as a sinner, we come before him, we kneel at an altar, we repent of our sins, and God then begins to put us in a little bit of fire, a little bit of heat. You got to do this. You got to change that. You got to stop this. You need to turn this way and don't go back that way no more. And yet we understand that if it got too hot, we could be burnt up. And so he holds us in his hands and he watches us as we grow. And as he can, the process of refining continues. See, only the refiner knows what impurities are that have to be completely removed in order to allow him to see his own image reflected. He knows what has to go. And you could say in the same manner, it is the Lord who takes us as his children into his hands, and it is he, God, who begins the refining process with what? With patient love and an unflinching justice. Well, what does that mean? Constant, consistent. He wants to perfect us. He's moving us forward. He's not leaving us where we were. He wants to take us to where we need to be. And so maybe we stop and we regain some strength. But God says, that's not enough. I got to refine you more. And he draws you further. You see, because only the refiner, only God knows what impurities in each one of our lives we stand as an individual that need to be removed. The purpose of refining of gold and silver is to remove unwanted impurities. And in reflection again to that of our lives, it is God whose purpose in seeking to refine us is to remove sin as well as the impurities, the remnants of sin from our lives. And once the impurities are removed, it is then that God can begin to shape us into a vessel for his use. Vessels that in the end will reflect his image. Well, how do you think I'm doing so far? Well, just a little bit of time. Could you imagine a young lady like Haley back in grade 5 going up to the senior class of grade 12 and telling them, I'm willing now to sit in your class and take trigonometry and geometry and learn all these fancy things. So let's get down to it. Excuse me, little girl. Well, how old are you? Well, I'm 11. And what grade? Well, I'm in grade 5. Well, you come back in a few years and we'll talk about it. And so we come to God and say, well, God, can you use me yet? I can use you, but I got to refine you. I want you to reflect me. I want people, when they look at you, to see me. What does the Bible say? Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works. But what do? They glorify your Father, which is in heaven. I want them to see me in you and you in me. And I'll let you go. So then the question is asked, well, how does God refine us? Brother Holland, would you turn to the book of 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. How does God refine us? Imperfections will not be permitted, ladies and gentlemen, in God's kingdom. And so that fire, it'll bring us to that place of praise and honor. People say, you look like your father, not your earthly father, but your heavenly father. Sister Wilson, would you look up and read, please, Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 9. This is my people, called out, chosen ones. And in turn, we say in Jesus Christ is our God. This is my people. And he presents us to the world. And he said, this is the reflection that I want you to see. Brother Holland, Isaiah chapter 48 and 10. Here's the refining process that God takes us through. Wow. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. Through trials, through the passage of the valleys of this life, when it's you who's under the assault of a spiritual attack, and it's you who's trudging through the times of discouragement, who as a people of God in times of isolation, we often feel within ourselves that we're all alone. It is in such times that it is God who is one that tries we, his people, in the furnace of affliction. Everybody has heard this saying before. How do you tell how good tea is? Well, put it in hot water. You'll find out how good that tea is. How strong is your commitment for God? How established are you in his word? Well, put him through the furnace of affliction. Job was put in the furnace of affliction. Peter was in the furnace of affliction. Paul was in the furnace of affliction. The disciples of God, as they followed, hey, they came back and said, you know what, today I got beat up for God. Look at the bruises. Man, I'm bleeding all over my back. They ripped my shirt to threads. Oh, yeah. They counted it joy when they fell into diverse temptations. They thought it was the greatest thing. And they came through the fire. And God says, all right, I'm going to meet you on the other side. I'm going to touch your wounds. I'm going to heal your bodies. I'm going to turn you around. If you think about it tonight, church, we don't always see such afflictions, as I've just mentioned, as being a part of the hand and purpose of God. But I want you, what I want you to know tonight, that it is exactly that. What? It's the hand and the purpose of God. You mean God wants me to suffer? Could you imagine? I'm not picking on her, but anyhow, she's youngest among us tonight. Could you imagine every day? Mom, give me a 50. Dad, I need a couple hundred. Mom, give me 25. Mom, I want this. Mom, there's these new clothes I've been dying to get my hands on. Mom, can you buy me this car? And everything, yeah, you got it. And then your mom finally one day says no. Yeah? No. If we got everything we wanted, if God just stuck it on a silver platter and he handed it to us, ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you, we'd become a spoiled people. We would expect God to do everything, even though he can. But sometimes that furnace of affliction will come on. You'll get sick. You know what I'm going to do? The Bible says to call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint you with oil. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. And you know, well, I'm broke. Well, what am I going to do? Get a visa. Write a check. How about get on your knees, you know? How about you come to church, and I know none of you ever done this before, but you're discouraged, you're down, you're feeling low, maybe you're empty inside, you're hurting, you don't want anybody to notice what you're going through, you're just in the fire. And so, you know what you want to do? You don't want to come to church. No, you want to come to church, and you don't want to fall unless you fall on your knees. And then when you fall on your knees, suddenly you feel this warm hand on the the back of your shoulder, and you feel this warm sensation through your body, and you begin to cry, and you lift up your hands, and moments later you're talking in an unknown tongue, and moments later the peace of God that passes all understanding is reaching out to you. It is God. It's the hand and purpose of God. Why? Because he's refining us. At the same time, what it is that we as God's people need to recognize every single day of our life is that God is the one who is in control.
Yep.
Even now in this current time of fear and isolation and for some possible death. I was talking to a lady today, and she said, you know what? I'm ready to go. I'm not going to walk around in fear. I'm just going to trust God. Now, that doesn't mean be foolish and silly, but she said, I'm going to trust God. And if God decides to take me home, well, then God takes me home. Amen. But if I get sick, then I've got a God that can heal. Amen. And, you know, we sit isolated. Well, I'm all alone. No, you are not. Amen. It is said that a person's mental health and that of a person's state of being in and during even such as this present pandemic is unwarranted, it's unstable, and it's also uncertain. You don't even know where people are today. They put on the smile, they walk by you, and they are blistering inside. They're as scared as a chicken in a hen house. I don't know how they'd be scared, but anyhow, it did sound good. You say, well, why was that? Why is it so uncertain? Because people, and even the likes of some of you, believe that you have no resources, maybe at times to fall back on than yourself. Well, this is up to me. I knew a young lady at one time. She said, I take care of myself. It's me. I'm the one. I handle everything. I don't lean on nobody else but me. But you know what? Today, she's leaning on God. Maybe 100% all the time, but she knows where she needs to go. I lean on God. People in and within our world that feel as though they have no one to talk to but to themselves. They have no other voices or any other form of distraction to take away the little voice that speaks to them and tells them that you are no good, that you're lonely, and that they and you will always be lonely. But we, you could, in a moment, in a breath of a prayer, could access the throne room of God. I'm feeling really down right now. I feel like crying. I feel disconnected from everybody. Stop. Didn't Jesus say, I'll never leave you nor forsake you? Didn't he say that I'm pretty much as close as the mention of my name? Call on me while I'm near. Seek me and search for me with all your heart. You'll find me. Wait a minute. Those little voices can go away, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to begin to worship and pray. I'm going to begin to put my focus up on high. I'm going to look to God. Maybe he's refining me. Maybe I'm acting too independent and I'm not leaning enough on God. And so God says, you know what? You go ahead and get a little bit far away from me. You look at any young child, and even sometimes spouses, when they get away from their security or their security blankets, they get lonely and scared, but as soon as they know that my wife's home, your husband's home, mom and dad are back, wow! They can ride that storm. They're no longer alone. As a child of God, we can ride that storm. God will refine us. He is purifying us, and we could be perfected in the midst of our lonely storm. Normally, you'll find that people attempt to still the voice that talks to them with activities and other people's voices, but when you or when they are isolated, then, well, maybe you can't. Or can you? Maybe I don't have to turn the music up loud and have to call everybody on the phone. And see, because being isolated and alone is not the same as being alone with God. When we're alone with God, it means that we have walked into that place of both communication and that place of communion with nothing to distract us from our God. You know, that secret place, a place where it is just you and God. You ever been there? You need to be there sometime. If you look at Matthew chapter 6 and 6, the book of Matthew, no, that's mine. You can't have that on it. I did?
What a horrible person.
I'll take that one. I'll give you another one. I'll treat you real good. Matthew 6 and 6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth thee in secret shall reward thee openly. How many people could raise a hand as a testimony that you came maybe down and lowly or kind of out or tired, and you got on your face and you called out to God and you cried out to that God of the Most High, and you gave it everything you got, whether you felt like it or not, and you walked out of the church house strong, pardon me, and tall, recovered and recouped? Oh, I thought you were all depressed. No, I just talked to God. Brother Holland, Psalms 91, 1 and 2. It's our prayer closet, that secret place or places where we are alone with God, in your car. I was outside the other day, and I was cleaning up some dog stuff, you know, before the daycare kids went out. And you know what I started doing? I started talking to God. Then I started talking in tongues, and I started feeling the presence of God. And I thought it was, like, really cool. And then this morning at 6 o'clock, I'm on my treadmill, and I'm going along, and I'm listening to a preaching message, and I started getting excited, and the little doodads were going up down my backbone, and God gave me a message thought, and I thought, that's really cool. You know, this isn't, well, he doesn't do it for me. Are you ever alone? Do you put yourself in the potter's wheel? Do you allow yourself to go to that refining fire? See, it doesn't matter if we're isolated, for when we are alone with God, then we, my friends, are no longer alone. Yeah. Remember that story my wife told? Being at that place, we're doing a kind of a picnic camp out with the church, and she had wandered off, and the kids were a little bit further off, and there was a stranger with a machete just off the way, and so she started talking as if she was acknowledging and being acknowledged by the people who would see her there, because that guy scared her. What is he doing with a machete? Why is he in that camouflage outfit, and why is he getting closer to me than he should be? Where did he come from? And so she talked her way out of that. You know what? And you get alone with God, and you start talking with him, and say, you know what, the devil getting into my mind, and he's telling me all kinds of lies, tells me I'm no good, tells me I'm going to be nothing, and what did you say? You love me, and you care for me, you'll keep me, you'll walk with me. And you walk around, and what would happen? You know, you're on your lunch break, you're outside, or maybe even walking down the street, doing your walk, and he walks with me, and he talks with me. Look at that lady, Mom. She's singing something very strange. And he tells me I am his own. Okay, back to the point. Refiner's fire. Autographs after 7. Okay. You might wonder tonight how being alone with God relates to the refining process. You know, how does being alone with God relate to the trials, the ones that press upon us, along with the mental and the many emotional struggles, to that of our own financial struggles, all of this? You ever been broke? You ever opened your wallet and you got dust? You ever felt like crying and there was no reason to cry? You ever been sad? It relates because it's when these trials are upon us that God in such times wants us to enter into that secret place with him. So God can use these trials to refine us. For you, my friend, cannot be refined if you don't put yourself into the hands of the one doing the refining. Where do I go? When no one wants to listen. Who do I talk to? Where do I turn to? Where do I run to? The refiner. And when it's your life that is keeping God from taking you through the refining process, unless it's you who allows God to take you into his hands, then it's going to be you who just goes through your trial and test of life with no eternal benefit nor qualities for you. It's not going to benefit you to be the tough one and walk alone. However, when we place ourselves into God's hands through prayer, the word, communion with God, it's then and only then that God can refine us. Where do I get my strength? God is a present help in trouble, the Bible says. Very present help in trouble. Where do I get my renewing? Where do I become solid? Where do I understand my commitment? When trouble comes my way, how do I say no? How do I attack and affront peer pressure and tell them no? You'll be isolated. You'll be no, because God is with me. God's refining me. You know what? I'd like to be like you. Maybe if you bring me to church, I'd like to go with you. Over the past 20 years, I've seen people, even in our own church, take themselves out of the hand of the refiner and run from the fire. Well, why is that, Pastor? Well, because they don't like the pressure. Anybody like pressure? Pushed? As it's they who desire to walk with God, it's they who don't want to be mocked for the Christian stand. They don't want to be made fun of how they look or what activities they will not do. So they run. They appear to be, happy for a time. They put on the fake instead of the real. But in themselves, they feel, maybe even free. But it really is the flesh that's free, not their spirit. And slowly the same old habits that once were removed, the impurities are what begin to creep in, and they can't see how that they no longer are reflecting the God and that Savior anymore. But they rather now just reflect their flesh. You used to be. You looked so. You prayed so hard. And now you're quiet. I used to see you at every service. And now I see you in a few. But at the same time, I've also seen church, those who I've called my brothers and sisters in Christ, even again, some that are here tonight, who when they are placed in the refiner's fire, they submitted themselves to the process. They learned to trust the refiner and not to fight nor run. I'm going to trust you. I am walking through one of the deepest valleys of my life. But you know what? Ahead of me, there's a mountain. Ahead of me, there's going to be a way of getting out of this. And God's going to go before me. And God's going to be with me. Those of you this night that are under the sound of my voice, I want you to hear this. As we are alone with God in the midst of the heat and the fire, it's God who is able to bring our impurities to our intention. You ever sit down and open your Bible or even pray, and sometimes you're going, oh, you have to bring that one up right now? When we stop long enough to listen to that still small voice, it's then that God can begin to refine us so that we in our lives in turn can be and we can begin to be what reflects him. Anybody ever had this said to them before? Have you ever changed? Do you ever look different? Wow. There's a glow on your face. What are you using? OHG. Oh, can I get some? Yeah, come to church tonight. You get the HG. Woo! What's the HG? The Holy Ghost. Yeah. That glow. Yeah. Sister Wilson, 1 Peter 5 and verse 10. Please. After that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, established, strengthen, and settle you. Brother Holland, Psalm 66, verse 10. Psalm 66, verse 10. Anybody remember the words that Gideon used to God before he went to battle with the Midianites? Let me prove this. I want to prove it. I want to be assured. God has proved us. He has tried us as silver is tried. Sister Wilson, Job 23 and 10, please. See, when our back in our own personal lives, when our first pastor, who was many years ago now, was backsliding, as a church family went through a year of pretty much weeping and a time of confusion. Didn't know what was going on or what was really happening. And as for my family, I can remember lying on the living room floor praying all night and trying to keep our attitudes right and our hands off the ministry. We didn't understand what was going on, but now we know when we look back, we know that many of us as a church body emerged from that time of refining a very different people from the time when it all started. Who are you living for God for? Well, you know, Pastor, don't you? He's so mean. If I didn't go to church tonight, man, he's at my house pounding on my door. Last week he was kicking it. No, yeah, no. Anyhow, yeah, and you know, Brother Holland, if I didn't show up on one of his nights of ministering, done. He wouldn't even go for coffee with me. Well, how come you're living for God? Well, you know how big God is with that baseball bat up there? God walks around with a baseball bat? I didn't see that in the scriptures. Well, because. We had people back then in the day. I was an unofficial assistant, but I wasn't nothing legal or nothing voted on, an assistant pastor. And he walked away and people came up. So what do we do? What do we do? What do we do now? What are we going to do? Well, live for God and show up for church. Prayers at 6:30. Just be there. Oh, what do I wear? The same thing you've been wearing. You know, oh, should I change? Well, you know, if you've been wearing it for a week, please do, because, you know, smell you later. No, I mean, what do we do? What do we do, Brother Wilson? I don't know. I know. We walked away from that time in a resolve, being that refined. Was it fun? No. Did we like it? No. Were we happy about it? No. Did we come out stronger? Yes. Your trials and struggles and your tests and the furnace of affliction shouldn't cause you to get away from God. It should cause you to get closer to. Brother Holland, can you please read Psalms? We did read Psalm 66 and 10, didn't we, I think? We just did.
All right.
So, taking a step forward, what I'm saying to you tonight is this. There may come those times when it's you who doesn't understand the why nor the where that God is or has been allowing you to be tried or to go through what may be to you the fire. But if instead of running, instead of you not allowing God to refine you in such a process, if you as a child of God, hear this now, would only submit yourself to God's refining process in such a time of your life, what it is that you would come to discover is the fact that it is God who will bring you forth as gold. Here's a thought for you. You do what you want with it, take it home, leave it at the house, leave it in the church on your pew next to you. Ready? Why is God allowing this to happen? I don't understand it. I don't get it. How come me? What did I do? Stop. Well, you seem to be really going through it. You're having a tough time right now. Yeah, this morning in prayer, I said, God, what do you want me to learn? What's the difference? What do I need to go beyond this? Are you refining me? Are you trying me in that fire? Now don't forget the process way in the back. You're still in his hands. And he's watching you to make sure it doesn't. No temptation has taken you such as common to man, but God is faithful. He'll never take you beyond what you can handle. He's holding you in that fire, and he knows just when you begin to get a little bit too hot. And he doesn't want you destroyed, and he'll take you back. And so what I said and all that was, instead of going around and just getting the molly grubs and going down to the basement floor and crying and dying, stop and say, God, what is it that I need to learn? Help me to submit to you. I'll put myself under you in this. I'll walk this valley. You know why? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Because you're with me in that valley. As we round the corner tonight and we head for our close, in concerns to the story that I read at the beginning of this message thought, it's a story that brought out three important factors that you could take home with you in the refining process. Three of them. Number one, even though we're in the fire, we're never alone. For the refiner, Jesus Christ, is with us that whole through the whole process. Jesus feels the heat that we're feeling. He watches over us with care, for we are precious in his sight. I can take a whole lot of beating as long as he's with me. Number two, Jesus will not leave us in the fire too long. I just illustrated that for you. As it is he who watches for the exact moment when it's necessary to pull us out of the fire before we're destroyed by the flames, because Jesus is the one who watches over our soul. I'm not going to let this destroy you. I want it to make you. Number three. When the process is over, and it's we who will then reflect the image of Jesus Christ. You know, when I look at you, you've been in the church how long, Brother Wilson? You've been in the church how long, Sister Peaver? Sister Wilson? The Hollands? Sister Pate? How long? Wow, you know, I look at you and I look at people, sister, my wife and others. How long have you been in church? You're still here. You're still strong. You're still walking. One foot's going in front of the other. You still love God. You're still faithful to the house of God. You're still faithful to God. And you look at people, how can you, what is it that makes you successful? Brother Wilson, how can you live for God for 50 years? What in the world? Sister Peaver, probably 60 years or more. How in the world? Well, remember what I said earlier? You know my pastor, right? I'm so scared. I get up in the morning and I wonder if he's out there waiting to drag me to church. And it's only the morning of Wednesday. It's not Wednesday night. He called me 15 times tonight. Are you coming? Are you going? No. You say, you know why I'm still here? I've been placing myself into the refiner's hands. And he's been burning up everything that didn't belong. And he's changed me on the inside. There's Jesus on the outside, working on the inside. What a change in my life. And once we are refined, it is then that we could be made into a vessel of his choice, to be used as he, Jesus Christ, wills for his glory. Don't we sing that song, "You Deserve the Glory and the Honor"? And lift my hands to worship. You see, throughout this walking with God, what it is that you'll discover is the fact that the times will come, and likely again and again, when it's God who seeks to refine you. Not because God is trying to be mean, but it's God who knows that in order for you and I one day to be with him forever, church, in his paradise, it is in our lives that along the way we need to have any and all impurities removed. Nothing unclean is going to go to heaven. Maybe I got a bad habit that I'm fighting. He's going to take that impurity away. He's perfect. You know what? I'm not perfect. I'm just forgiven. I haven't yet arrived, but I'm on my way. Since Jesus saved me and he forgave me, can't say I'm perfect, but I can say I'm saved. Those impurities that try to accumulate within us, you'll find as what is gone as we await the day that Jesus returns. Look at you. What's one of the most famous scriptures that Brother Holland, Brother Wilson, and Pastor and others love to quote? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Well done. That doesn't mean cooked, honey. You did well. You took that refining. Stand with me tonight. If you have a Bible, please turn to the book of 1 Peter chapter 4 before Sister Eve begins to play. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verses 12 through 14. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice in so much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. And if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil speaking of, but on your part he is glorified. Refiner's fire. My heart's one desire is to do what? To be holy. Set apart for you, Lord. You know, I choose to be holy, to be refined, to place myself unto the refiner's fire and to have all my impurities taken away. I choose. We come to church, and you know what? At the end of a service, there's an altar call. Well, it's my choice to come to the front. Do you know why we come to the front? Because I step out of my comfort zone, and I come before God. I lift up my hands, or I stand there with eyes closed, and I begin to talk to the refiner. I say, thank you, Jesus, for talking to me tonight. The altar's open tonight if you want to know. You can come. You need to take a few minutes just to think. Remember, what did I say? What have I said to you? What has the Word of God said to you? What has God in your soul just said to you? Allow the Holy Ghost right now to speak into your spirit strength, to give you that encouragement to know that you're not alone. You're not isolated. You're not without anything. You've got God.
Purify my heart. Let it be.
Let's just talk to him for a few minutes. Just ask God
and
to refine you, to strengthen you.
Purify my heart.
Criticize the benefit, but the envy, the results.
Let it be as gold.